of God today. Amen. Isn't that good? We get the freedom. You can worship God anywhere in this world. But I don't know if y'all pay attention to the news. You know, I have a magazine in one of my offices back there. It has a story from an Easter service in Egypt. And it's not the only picture I've seen like this, but they show a sanctuary and there's just blood. Because during Easter, or Palm Sunday, one of those two services, it was bombed. And y'all, listen, that's not freedom to worship Jesus Christ is not protected everywhere in the world like it's protected here. We come here and we ought to be thankful, right? And we ought to recognize this Memorial Day is the time when we say thank you to everybody who has served. So not only do you get a coupon if you've served in any capacity, but if you would, just stand up. Just stand up if you've served in our military in any way, shape, form. Or if you have a family member who served and it affected you, just stand up. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I don't see my dad here, but he didn't serve in the military, but his dad did. And his brother did. And the interesting thing about that was his dad was born in Germany. And his dad served in World War II with the Germans, World War I with the Germans. He got his family, his sons, he moved to America, moved to Detroit, Michigan, so his sons could grow up in a peaceful place and avoid war. When they found out my grandfather could speak German fluently, he got recruited and he fought in World War II for America against the Germans. Isn't that something? That's kind of a weird story. But anyways, we love y'all. Thank you for serving. Thank you for being here. It's time now to set everything aside, to set aside whatever we got going on. It's a big weekend, whether you got a cookout, whatever it is. Set it aside. Set the worries aside. Doubts aside, and just focus yourself on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're going to be singing about. That's what the sermon's going to be. It's going to be from His Word. It's going to be about Him. And so let's focus this time, this hour, on Him. Amen? Can we do it? Let's try. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And I pray right now as we get ready to worship that You would captivate our mind, that You would become number one, that we would purposely set aside all other things and take this time as an offering to You and just focus on You. Help us to worship You. Help us to hear Your Word, to be pliable to Your will. Lord, we love You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If everybody would stand up, we're going to praise the Lord this morning. I just hope that I challenge you all to just give the Lord everything you have this morning in worship and just let Him be you.
Change your plan, invisible.
Yesterday I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. Well, I was lost when you found me here. I was broken beyond repair. Then you came along, you sang your song over me. It feels like I'm born again, feels like I'm living for the very first time, for the very first time in my
Thank you.
Connie's class, four to kindergarten, three to kindergarten. Some, if you're anywhere in the area of kindergarten, you go with Nani, right? You can go with Nani right now. My eyes water, and I'd like to say it's because of allergies, but it's because just as we got singing, and it seemed like that last song in particular just kind of got my eye to watering and missing. Just my left one, though, not both of them. And just indulge a moment. I don't get to have my mom here with me often, and she's rocking that awesome hat right over here. I'm glad that she's with us, glad that y'all are with us. But as we were singing that, you know, one of my heroes is my grandfather, is my mom's dad. He's gone on now, and it chokes me up to think about it. And I don't often think I received a lot from him. He's big like I am, and he can grow a beard like, you know, he had, like I can. But, you know, he was a man of faith. And just when I was sitting there, I thought, you know, I get to be a man of faith, too. And I got that. I'm thinking, you know, I got that partly from him. And anyways, it was just a family moment that I had over there while we're singing to the Lord. And I'm grateful, because I started thinking Memorial Day is more than just about remembering those who served and passed, but also those who have passed that we love. You know, and we just take time to remember them and be appreciative for the time we had with them. You know, does that make sense to y'all? So this weekend, as you lift your red solo cup full of Coca-Cola, or if you're more responsible, you know, Coke Zero, or water, whatever it is, you know, do so in remembrance of those who have gone on that we love, that we miss, that the world is better them having been in it, and that maybe you received some kind of gift or blessing or you know, something was handed down from them to you. What an awesome opportunity we have in this weekend to do that and say thank you, Lord, for those that we love. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to try not to cry anymore. But we're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, continuing our series in Mark. And this sermon is like part two. We did part of chapter 14 last week, and we spoke on how Jesus reveals our character. Jesus is a character revealer. I even thought in preparing this, what if the part of the point, and I think it is, what if part of the point of Jesus going to the cross was to reveal the characters and of those he came in contact with, and then also some of the things that we have in this world, like a court system and human government. What if part of what he was doing was walking through these things and saying, watch. Watch when they crash against me how their character is revealed. Watch how it happens. And just to give us some insight as we go along and say, ah, Jesus showed us the true deal about these things, about these people. And even if I'm so bold, is to reflect upon myself in the light of Jesus. He reveals the truth about me too. He shows the cracks in the character. He shows the need. He also shows the strengths and the blessings. But he reveals it. He shows it. So I'm going to read starting in verse 27 of chapter 14 of the book of Mark. We're going to skip a little passage in there that dealt with Judas that we dealt with last week. And then we'll carry on and read the rest of the chapter. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Then they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here a while and pray, while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther. He fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed, and he spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time, and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I'm going to pick up at verse 47. And one of those who stood by drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and he said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but that the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all, being his disciples, forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth, and he fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. With him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants, and he warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst, and he asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent. He answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out to the porch, and a rooster crowed. And a servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I don't know this man of whom you speak." A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your mission, part of which was to reveal who we are and why we so desperately need you. And Father, in this, would you ultimately reveal to us who Jesus is? Show us the revealer and the judge of our character. Show us the one who stands apart. Show us the one who was strong enough to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." Oh, Father, we love you and we need you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When we think about this whole passage, I want us, we're only going to select parts of it. And I don't want you to get me wrong from the beginning. The first thing I want us to see is the cracks that it shows in the human system of government and rule. I'm not an anarchist. I almost said an Antarctica. I'm not an Antarctica. I'm not a big frozen continent that no longer has a beard. I'm just a man, a preacher man. No, I'm not an anarchist. I'm not against the rule of law. But y'all need to understand this. The rule of law, justice, grace, mercy, love, these are not things that you're going to find in our human system without exceptions, without faults, and without flaws. The human system of government and law enforcement, all these things that Jesus reveals as being crooked, it's run by crooked people. It's run by people with flaws. I'm looking at my law enforcement officers in the back. They're like, "Tread carefully, Bubba. Tread carefully." I want you to see this in verse 55. Jesus is there. He knows that they're afraid of him. They don't want him to take him in public, because they're afraid of the people. So they're afraid. They feel like their power comes from the people. Not from God, not from the truth, but comes from the people. So they're not going to arrest Jesus in public. That's the first thing he kind of nails them on up earlier in verse 48. He says, "I was with you every day, open in the public, teaching. You know what I said. You know what I taught. Why are you arresting me at night? Why are you coming out as against a robber?" And the truth was, this system realized that it had to please the people. It couldn't go just against them wholeheartedly. They would have a riot on their hand. But look at verse 55 and what it reveals. "Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none." Now look, we have this idea that in human systems, in the government, that they ought to be seeking something. They ought to be seeking the truth, right? Let the truth come out. Let the truth be revealed. And then let the consequences fall as they may once the truth is sought out and found. But it says here that they sought testimony just to put him to death. They were seeking not the truth. They were seeking a predetermined end to get rid of a troublemaker. Do you reckon that happens anymore in our system? Do you reckon there's been miscarriages of justice from the time Jesus was here? And we look, there's some famous courts of injustice. Have you ever heard of the Grand Inquisition? It was something that took place. took place in Spain, took place a part of European history, where people weren't looking for the truth. They were just looking to destroy other people with the law and with courts. Y'all, listen. Jesus shows us something, and it ought to say this to us. Don't be surprised if you don't find justice, if you don't find truth, if you don't find peace through human systems, be them governments or courts or anything else. Don't be surprised if you don't find there the highest of ideals that we hold up. Don't be surprised if there's things that happen there that ought not happen. Because it's run by people, imperfect people. Don't let your trust be in a government system. Well, I know it'll work out because we have a great system in this country. And we have, you know, juries, and we have lawyers, and we have judges, and we have training, and we have education, and we have law enforcement, and we have, you know, things that just would make sense. We have cameras so we can see what really happened. None of those things guarantee that the truth is going to win out in the end. The only one who guarantees that truth wins out in the end is God, is the ultimate judge. Jesus Christ, the only innocent, sinless man to walk the face of the earth, gets his time of trial. And they're not even seeking to find the truth. They're seeking to put him to death. They've already come to a conclusion what needs to happen. So they're just trying to find a story that backs up their story. He was so good that we couldn't stand him. The religious leaders couldn't stand him because he found those who were so downtrodden and he lifted them up. The people adored him. They said, oh, we love what this guy does when he's doing good for us. But they couldn't stand the thought of him being the one, the Christ, the Messiah. And so they stopped seeking the truth, and they started seeking just how they might destroy him. Now look what this verse says. They sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yet we know the rest of the story. What did they do? They found none, but what their end result still got worked out, right? They still figured out a way to put this dude to death publicly. Don't let something like the truth hold you back. Don't let something like lack of evidence hold you back. We can do this. We can make it happen. We can do this. Some people, maybe even in this room, have so much trust in us, what we can do together, collectively as a society. We can be just. We can be inventive. We can be passionate or compassionate and merciful. And I'm just here to remind you, Jesus revealed the cracks in this system, and it ought to tell us something. Put your faith and your hope in God. Not in the systems of government that God ordains. Government's not against God. Law enforcement's not against God. These are things God ordains within a civilization. But never to replace God with these things, this sense of justice that we have. You ever notice everybody has a sense of justice? If you see somebody kicking a puppy down the street, you're going to be upset. Most, unless you're a sociopath. I know where you have a couple. So, you know, psychopath was the way, you know, we used to, don't look at me like that, River, you know. If we see something happen, we see somebody being bullied. We see something happening to someone weaker. There's a sense of injustice, a sense of justice that rises up in us and says, that's not right. That's not right. And yet, sometimes we take advantage of people. And we go, I just had to do it. That just had to be done that way. Somehow it doesn't cry out against us. Or sometimes in a whole system, something will happen. Someone will be victimized, and we go, well, that's just the system. It's how it works. Y'all, listen. That's true. It's just how it works. It doesn't always work out right. But can I tell you something? God will work out everything right. Don't be surprised when the bad guy gets away. Don't be surprised in our system when the good guys don't see justice when the money doesn't get paid back, or the life can't be given back, or this, you never can be on track again. People in systems of government cannot give you back what you lose. Not your sense of security or peace or anything like that. Y'all, we've prayed for Miss Pam Holman, and she doesn't want to be a part of the sermon right now, I know, but she was in a car accident last week. She was going fast. Weren't you going, no, not fast, pretty fast? About 55 miles per hour? That's fast. If you're going to come to a sudden stop because somebody runs a stop sign and boom. I don't know what that, we've prayed for your body, but I've prayed for your mind too. I've not been in a crash at 55 miles per hour and boom, the things go out, you know, the airbags and all that stuff. But what does that do? So even though there might be some financial justice and whatever things that might happen in your situation, Miss Pam's had to have surgery. So now she has steel plates put in her arm where she didn't have those before. She's got this knowledge of being in this accident, this experience. No one can give you that peace back. Nobody can make your arm totally whole like it was beforehand. But God can do things that nobody else can do. You know, so you may look to the court and say, well, restore me and make me whole. Wholeness doesn't come through a human system. It never will. So don't be surprised. You know, I talk to so many people and they go, oh, can you believe what happened? The good guys lost and the bad guys won. In this world, that's going to happen. But with God, God wins. Christ wins. And those who put their faith in Christ win. Okay? You cannot all be restored. There was a time when we had someone in our church family who had a close cousin who was murdered. And they discovered it. They found out who'd done it. And they had all this stuff. And then based on technicalities, this person got hardly any type of sentence at all. They're free right now, enjoying life to the extent that any free felon can't. But this family is never going to be made whole. They're never going to, you know, there's a crack in the system. I told that person, you got to trust God. You got to look to God. Yet so many of us, when we get thrown off by this, we turn to things. We turn to maybe drugs and alcohol. We turn to bitterness and anger. We get mad at God. Why did this injustice happen? Y'all, you and me don't live in the Garden of Eden anymore. The best man on earth was found guilty. Do y'all see this trial? Do you see the revelation of this? The best man was found guilty by a whole council of people. By the end, the whole council agreed, condemn him. Then they spat on him. And then they punched him. And then they beat him. And then they crucified him. For what? They didn't even have a testimony against him. They convinced another government official, Pilate, a higher up, you ought to go along with this. Don't look for justice and peace and a settlement of things in human under human control. Y'all, it comes from God. Y'all get that? Do you see how Jesus revealed that? Just kind of mashed up against him. Now let's speak on Peter, the Apostle Peter. Not only should we not be surprised when human systems, court systems, legal systems, financial systems, business systems, even what about the church? The church is exempt. We're perfect. No one's ever been cast out of church before for a bad excuse. No one's ever been kept back because they were a certain color or a certain background or a certain financial level. You know, the church has always been wide open, accepting people, all varieties, loving and kind. No one was ever told, you need to get out of here, your hair is too long, your music's too loud, you dress too crazy. No one's ever been told those things in church. Church is perfect, the only perfect human institution. I feel like I'm telling a story. Don't be surprised in any human institution if you don't find it the way it's supposed to be. But when you know the way it's supposed to be, that ought to all the more turn your mind to God and Christ because he is the way it's supposed to be. Now, let's talk about just us as Christians. We ought not be too surprised when we deny, our Lord. I know that sounds kind of rough, but let's look at Peter. Peter becomes the champion of the church, the human champion, the lead apostle, the head disciple, the spokesman, first preacher of the church is Peter. And he's got a heck of a resume. I mean, he's knocking it out. But before he got there, he had a struggle, didn't he? He had this time of denial. So let's look at why he denied. But keep an eye not just on Peter, but keep an eye on yourself too. Why do we deny? And what does it look like? We enter into, in verse 27, a discussion, Mark 14, 27, a discussion Jesus is having after the Lord's Supper he has with his disciples, and he says, all of you all are going to stumble and leave me behind. Then he even quotes a scripture. He takes the scripture, the word of God, and says, this is so sure, it's been prophesied in the scripture. For you will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. He says, but don't worry, after that time I'll gather you all back together. Now, if they were all, imagine if they all said, yes, Lord, okay, we get it. We have a weakness. We're going to be afraid. We're going to stumble when we see what's happening to you. But we'll be looking forward to the time you rise and you gather us together. Maybe we wouldn't have all this, but there is Peter. And he speaks up in verse 29. Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be made to stumble. Peter says, I heard what you said, Jesus. I heard you quote a scripture, but you're wrong. Even if everybody else is weak like that, I'm not weak like that. Even if everybody else might stumble, yet I won't stumble. Not me. It won't happen like that to me. And then he goes on, Jesus says to him after that, assuredly, I say to you, Peter, that today, even tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Now imagine Peter was going out of his mind a little bit. Like, don't you tell me what I'm going to do? Do you think you know me better than I know me? Because I'm telling you, and he raises the stakes right here, even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. Oops. Where did all his strength go? We know in just a few hours after this, he denies Jesus three times. What happened to Peter? What happened to his strength? What happened to all his willpower? Willpower. What happens to your willpower when you're on a diet? I won't ever eat cookies again until this one. What happens to you and me and all the things that we think? Even if everybody else falls this way, I won't fall this way. Even if I have to die, even if I have to live outside, even if I have to go without a car, even if I have to go without air conditioning, I won't do such and such a thing. We lie to ourselves about how strong we are. Peter, it wasn't that Peter didn't trust Jesus. See, Judas didn't trust Jesus. Just a quick comparison. Judas thought Jesus had too much heart and not enough brains. So he didn't trust him. A lot, like in practical things, like a lot of church folks, we don't trust Jesus on the practical day-to-day. He is big-hearted and compassionate, but if you try to live that way, people take advantage of you and stuff, you know, so you can't live like Jesus. Big heart, small brains, not good. So I'll use my common sense, and I'll just live out my life the way I know it's right. And I'll try to throw some compassion in there every once in a while. That was Judas. He didn't trust Jesus to be the whole deal. Peter trusted Jesus. He just trusted himself. And he looked onto himself to be strong enough to stick with Jesus. I'll stick with him. I won't ever deny him. I won't ever do anything. But where does his denial start? Do you know this is the beginning of his denial? Trusting himself more than he trusted Jesus? Jesus said, yes, you will. Peter said, no, I won't. Y'all remember having conversations like this when you were a kid? Yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. You didn't have conversations like that? Oh, I was like, you know, but this is the conversation they were having. You're going to deny me. I'm not going to deny you. Listen to how Peter says it, and it's clear even in the other Gospels. Jesus says, you will deny me. He says, I will not. I don't care what the conversation is. If you're having it with Jesus and he says, you will, and you say, I will not, you are in denial. Do y'all see how this is where it starts? It's a battle of will. Jesus says, you will. He says, I will not. Right there, we're in a problem. Who's right? Who's going to win? When it's between brother and sister in the back seat of the car, I'm going to sit in the middle. You will not. You will too. I will. I said, blah, blah, blah. We don't know. They got to fight it out. All the drama's gone, though, when it's an argument with Jesus and us. We already know who's going to win ultimately. We already know who's going to cave. We already know that he's strong and we're not. It reminds me of Jesus loves me. You know, they are weak, but he is strong. Peter, the problem that Peter had was he thought he was so strong. He thought he could do what was necessary to hang on to Jesus. He had to learn that none of us are that strong, and we've got to let Jesus hang on to us. Y'all catch that twist? He was going to hang on to Jesus for all it was worth, even if I got to die. Jesus said, you don't got the power to do that, but I'm going to hang on to you. In the Gospel of John, we're given three insights about Peter's denial. We're not going to go there, but I give them to you on your handout. If you don't have your handout, they're on here. It's from John chapter 18. The first time John reflects or records Peter's denial was Peter was trying to get into the courtyard. And the girl at the door says, aren't you one of them? And he says, no, I'm not. I don't know him. And she lets him in. I wonder, when we try to get in to a group, when we try to be part of the in crowd, I wonder if sometimes we're willing to deny what the Lord says. I wonder if sometimes we're willing to put our faith in Christ, our relationship with him, on the back burner just to get in, to be part of the inside group. Can I tell you how so glad I am to be saved by Christ, and he's brought me on the inside group, and I don't got to lie to impress anybody. I don't got to say something or deny my faith to impress anybody else to let me in their group. I've been brought into God's group through his son, and I'm so glad I'm on the inside. But there is a tremendous pressure on human beings to want to belong to something, and maybe we'll downplay our faith. We always blame it on young people, but I don't think it is always young people and peer pressure. Peer pressure happens to all people, and sometimes we'll downplay our relationship with Jesus Christ so that we will be seen as cool and belong to the group. Maybe it's a group of smart people who scoff at how the Gospels could be believed in. Maybe it's tough people who think Jesus is a sissy and everybody who follows him must be a sissy. Maybe, who knows what the group is, but we downplay our relationship just to get a little further in the group. The next time Peter denies Jesus, it was to stay by the fire. It says he was warming himself by the fire. And those who were around the fire said, aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of his disciples? And he denies Jesus for the second time. But what was going on? He was comfortable. He was warming himself. If he said he was one of them, would they make him leave the fire? Would they put him back outside the courtyard? Then he wouldn't know what happened with Jesus. He wouldn't be able to know. So strategically, Peter's thinking, if I deny Jesus, I can stay here where it's warm, and I can find out what's going on. All I have to do is just play off my relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we get comfortable in things that we ought not be comfortable in. And if we can just compromise our relationship with Jesus a little bit, maybe we can stay comfortable a little bit longer. I believe comfort and convenience are two of the biggest driving motivators of people in our time, in our country. We want to be comfort, we want to have comfort, and we want to have convenience. And if it means downplaying a little bit of Jesus, isn't that okay? Isn't that okay? It just seems like that's what Peter came in contact with. The last thing was safety. in the Gospel of John, it says a man came up to Peter. It was a relative of the man who Peter struck with the sword and cut off his ear. Now, that just happened. You know, that wasn't very long ago. And this guy comes up to him and says, "You're one of his people. You tried to kill my cousin." All of a sudden, big eyes. How's this going to turn out? If I say I am one of his followers, yes, I am the guy who just slung a sword at your cousin's head and just missed and got his ear. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? But just a minute ago, Peter was willing to die. If I have to die for you, I won't deny you. Now here's a guy saying, "I'm fixing to kill you to get revenge for what you did to my cousin." And he says, "Oh no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me." Mm-mm. Three times he denies Jesus. Three times we can see a little bit of a cause. Every time, though, he thought he could handle all the problems in his life. He thought he could handle. Y'all, listen. Listen to me real quick. When God revealed the character of Peter, he revealed that Peter had limitations to his own strength and his own willpower. He had problems he couldn't whoop. He had things he couldn't do on his own. And y'all, if we're wise, we will learn from that. But here's something I know about you and me. We're not as wise as we'd like to think. And if we only could, if only, Lord, we could learn from the mistake of others so that we wouldn't repeat them. Man, all the trouble we would save. But can I tell you something? This is still within the realm of things we have to learn. We have to learn that we're limited. Dads, you got to learn that you're limited. And moms, you got to learn that you're limited. And leaders, you got to learn that you're limited. And workers and bosses and everybody, students and teachers, we got to learn that we're limited. There's only so much you and I can do to handle the problems of this place before we just need to wholeheartedly turn everything over to Him. Christian who's trying to live the Christian life with all your earnest and all your strength, you're limited. And you're going to have to say, "I can't hold on to you, Lord. You're going to have to hold on to me." Now, that sometimes comes with a painful revelation. That's what happened to Peter. Peter, it says, then it came to his mind after the rooster crowed. It came to his mind, the word that Jesus spoke to him, and Peter wept bitterly. He wept. It came to his mind. He finally had to have a time where he realized his limitations. He realized that he denied Jesus. And it came to a painful Jesus meeting, an awakening, a revelation. And he just wept. And he just cried, "Lord, help me." Can I tell you something about us? Y'all, we need to get this message. I've put a verse up top of your handout. Chapter 14, verse 38. It says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And then it says this, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." This is true of all of us. As we live our lives, we're going to find in our flesh, there's a weakness. There's the limits. Even in the spirit, there's going to be limitation. But it's in the spirit that we connect to God. We find someone who loves us, warts and all, cracks and all, limitations and all. And we stop trying to impress Him with our strength. And we simply come to Him in faith and say, "Lord, be with us. Lord, help us." Oh, how much better off we would be if we'd stop assuming that we can handle everything ourselves and that we would ask God for help, we would ask each other for help, that we would do what we could to help others in their times of distress and not look down upon them. You ever hear people say, "Well, that problem is caused by, they caused their own mess. They caused their own problem. They've made their bed, now let them lay in it." Raise your hands here if you've never caused yourself any problems. Just you, you've never caused yourself any problems.
No, I have.
Okay, I was like, "Miss Angela? We opening these altars for you right now." That's all right. I'm be tricky sometimes. Y'all, we all cause our own problems. We've all made our own bed. We all, I mean, who are we look? I mean, what in the world? Why would we judge somebody because they did something? They got caught, now they've gone to jail, now they've caught it. Well, they're a bad man, but I'm a good man. No. We all need his help. We all struggle somewhere. We all need to come to say, God is willing and able if we'll let him do it. He's willing and able to forgive. He's willing and able to free us. He's willing and able to just love and accept us, cracks, warts, sin, and all. Now, he grows us. He cleanses us as we go. But he accepts us right where we are. When I see the human system and the cracks in it, and I see Peter, the lead apostle, with cracks and flaws, and then I think about myself, cracks and flaws, I'm so glad that I see Jesus Christ, who says, yeah, it's all right, come on. He's still looking to gather them up in Galilee. He's still looking to say, come on. He didn't change his plan. After Peter denied three times, he didn't go, got to find someone else. Got to get me another leader. This guy went denying me all over the place. No, he didn't do that. He restored him. He says, come on. He can restore you too. Real quick, are you too confident in you? Ask yourself these questions. We're going to have a time of invitation. Are you too confident in you? When Jesus says you will, do you say, I will not? Have you fallen asleep in your time of watchfulness and prayer? Have you fallen asleep in time of watchfulness and prayer? You know, when you become a Christian, it says God has made you a royal priesthood. It means your job is to pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your nation. Pray for the church. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And I think many of us live in that place of temptation, just hoping not to fall here or there, but it's because we fell asleep in prayer. Think about how ironic it is that the man who said he would die for Jesus can't stay awake and pray. Isn't that something? Is there an irony in that? I can do the tough things. Don't we think that? I can do the tough things, but the daily little things, not so much. Maybe we would come to the point where we'd wake up to our daily responsibilities with Christ. Have you placed other values higher than Jesus? You'll deny Jesus if comfort and convenience is more important to you than following the Lord. If you don't want people to think you're weird, so you follow Jesus only within acceptable boundaries, you're just going to have this boundaried Christian walk. But if you say, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Lord, I'll go and do anything that you'll lead me to. What an awesome time you can have, and you won't be denying him. Lastly, if these things are true of you, what are you going to do about it? Peter ends up before Jesus saying, you know I love you, Lord. Three times. He ends up being restored by him. If you've been too confident in yourself, if you've fallen asleep on your responsibilities, or if you've allowed other values in this world to crowd out your relationship with Christ, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to ask him? Are you going to admit it? Are you going to say, I see what you revealed about me. Now I want to say, I surrender. I'm ready to come. I'm ready to be yours again and walk with you again. Now is your time. We're going to have this time of invitation. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. And as we come together, I do pray that you would continue to show us our person, who we are, reveal to us. Don't allow us to come from this and say, oh, so-and-so needs to hear about this. Help us, Lord, especially those here who might have the problem of not having any problems. May they finally hear that according to what you reveal in human character, they can't do it themselves. So, Father, grab them up. For those who think they're cracked beyond being repaired and redeemed, grab them up. Father, help us to walk with you, and we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus. we're going to go ahead and we're going to take up the morning's offering. But be mindful, be prayerful as people are continuing to do business with the Lord. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward to take up the morning offering. And as they come up, I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here together to do business. Thank you for seeing us, the real us, and not turning back. You might have could have went back to heaven and just been adored by angels, but you wanted a relationship with us. So thank you for that, Lord. And I pray right now as we take up the offering that you would be glorified, that we'd be blessed in giving and receiving. And Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember that song, the forgiveness, all that we need has been bought by the Lord. It's been provided for us. God is good. You know, we come to a point in our time where we don't like to believe in God, especially publicly. We don't like to talk about him and all those things. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to stop him from being good and gracious and kind. And we ought to seek him, right? All right. I'm trying to think. You all heard the announcements, and they're in the bulletin. And I'm not going to say them again. I am going to tell you, have a good time on Memorial Day. Remember those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom, but remember those who you miss and love too, and let it be a time when you share stories with your family and have a good time. We're going with my mom. We're traveling up into Tennessee as she makes her way back to Michigan, and we're going to try to make some memories and swim around and do some things like that, and then we're going to make our way back safely. So praying for everybody who's traveling. Suzanne, are you looking for people for, if you can help with the Edwards Memorial service this Saturday, see Miss Suzanne. She has a list back there. She's waving it. And, y'all, this is just part of those times when a church family, without a lot of effort, can say, we love you. And we do. We love Brian and we love you. And so just take that opportunity, if you can, to say that you love them. It means a lot. It just does. And you all know that because we've all been in that place where we receive that I love you from somebody. And it's just good. Okay. Hey, I love you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. And as we go, would you continue to do your work? We come here, hopefully, because time to time we need to be humbled. We need to have a revelation. We need to see Jesus in such a way that it puts. We say we need you, Lord, and we're not ashamed of that. And thank you for your help. Thank you for what you do and how you give. And we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Look!